So welcome back. We're going to continue with the next keynote. In this case, it's RESTful Linux. And for that, we have a very, very nice person to talk about it because it's the maintainer of the RESTful Linux subsystem. So please welcome Miguel Ojeda.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thank you to the organizers for inviting me. Normally, for the RESTful Linux talks, I give a status update, or I give some details about what we are doing, things that the team is working on, and so on. But for this keynote, I thought it could be a good idea or an opportunity to do something slightly different. You will see what I mean when we go through the talk. I will start with a brief context for those of you that may not know about the project yet or may not have heard about it. And then I will continue with walking you through the history of the project to give you a different perspective of to understand the project, where, how we got into the place we are now. And it's just a different way of looking at things. So let's start with the context. So what is RESTful Linux? This will be very brief. RESTful Linux is a project adding Rust support to the support for the Rust language, to the Linux kernel. This is worded fairly. Generically, because on purpose, because it's not about bringing Rust into drivers only or to modules only. It's not just about maintaining an out-of-tree fork. It's not about loadable modules. It's really about having first-class support for Rust in the kernel, upstream, in the upstream kernel, in mainline. It means the long-term goal is that if you're a kernel developer, a kernel maintainer, you can choose where you pick C nowadays, you can choose Rust in the future, right? So that's the goal. Very quickly, who uses it? Well, currently in tree, means in Linux's tree, so in upstream, in the kernel, we already have a few drivers or small modules. Oh, sorry, I should not move. But we also have major users currently outside of the kernel that are trying to get upstream and finishing, upstreaming their dependencies and everything they need to finally upstream the driver, because it has to be done in step by step. So you first have to upstream the dependencies and then you upstream the driver. So for example, we have there in the list Android Binder, which if successful and eventually goes into Android phones, it means that millions and millions and millions of people will be using it in all Android phones. We also have the Apple GPU driver, the NVMe driver, and the, a few months ago, the Nova GPU driver for NVIDIA was announced. And many other efforts as well in different places that people are working on. Now, of course, the question is why we are doing this to begin with, right? Why we want to put a second language into the kernel, because it has a major cost, and we recognize it has a major cost. Introducing a second language is something that we have said since the very beginning. It has a big cost for everybody in the kernel, and in the kernel, as you probably know, has thousands of developers, hundreds of companies, every cycle working. So, yeah, having everybody agree on what we are going to do, how we are going to do it, the guidelines even for a new language, et cetera, is a big cost. So why we are doing it, and especially why we were picking Rust, right? Why we are picking Rust? So you have heard, I'm pretty sure, about memory safety, especially in the last year with all this talk about potential regulations, things like that. I'm not going to bore you with those details. But instead, for those of you that have done C, but you have not done Rust, and maybe you are unconvinced or you don't know why we are doing this, I am going to just give you an example to pick your curiosity, a very simple example to pick your curiosity, and try to give you the reason why we are doing this. So we have this function in C, right? Please take a look for a few seconds. And if we assume that the requirements for the function, the requirements for our function are the comments, or the documentation on top of the function, then who would say, and please raise your hand, who would say this is a correct function? Okay, who would say it's incorrect, or that this has a bug, because it doesn't comply with the specifications? All right, Okay, some of you may be thinking, well, maybe it's not correct because I should be checking for null, things like that. Well, since the specification doesn't say anything about null, let's put it aside as both correct in both cases, okay, whether we check or not. So, well, here, of course, as you see, the bug is obvious, right? So the function doesn't comply with the specification. So what about this one in the bottom? It's the same requirement. I only change the constant. So what do you think about that one? So please raise your hand if you think that one is incorrect. Again, ignoring the checking for null. Oh, so some, okay, so some hands go, okay. So who thinks this one is correct, finally? Right? Oh, so some people don't think this one is correct. Okay, it would be interesting maybe to discuss that. Okay, let's assume this one complies with the requirements, okay? Let's assume this is correct. It's a correct function, is something that a C programmer may write in their code base. So I will move these two functions into a grid, okay? And in the y-axis, we have incorrect at the top, correct at the bottom, all right? Now, this is how you would write the same functions in Rust, right? It's one way of writing them, but the equivalent, let's say, and I'm oversimplifying, I'm going to oversimplify in this slide, but the way you would write the function would be something like this. Those functions look very similar, right, syntax-wise. I mean, it's something that takes the same effort to write, right? The syntax, the tokens are a bit different, but that's minor details. The both functions, the incorrect ones and the correct ones, the both sets of functions, compile to exactly the same thing. Okay, so whether you compile with GCC or Clang, the same instructions will come out. So, well, you could say, well, then what is the point, right? Now, the point is that the functions on the right side are what we call safe. And there is two meanings here of safe. And the point of these right-hand side functions, even if they compile to exactly the same binary or the same instructions, the point is that as an implementer of the function, when I wrote that line, that expression, you know, accessing A and accessing B, and then the quality operator, I know I have not introduced undefined behavior with that line. Okay, so as an implementer, I know there is no undefined behavior that I can trigger here. Undefined behavior, for those that may not know, is the kind of thing that, you know, is a memory shift issue, you can trigger vulnerabilities with it, nasal daemons, you know, corrupt your memory, etc. So very bad. So then that's one thing. And the other thing that you get with the right-hand side version is that the caller, as a caller of the function, not implementer, but the caller of the function, I know that I cannot introduce undefined behavior either when I call this function with any input, all right? And again, I'm oversimplifying. I'm not going to go into the details of when that holds exactly, but I will show you the Rust version of the left-hand side, okay? This is the left-hand side. This is how you write in Rust, the same version as the C one. Again, all these at the top and all these at the bottom compile to exactly the same thing. You see there are two colors. That's the meaning of the two safety things that I mentioned. One is that I don't introduce undefined behavior as an implementer, and the other is I don't introduce undefined behavior as the caller. And when you think about it, about the undefined behavior, the thing is, well, you may say, oh, you know, writing this, maybe, you know, it's pretty obvious that the incorrect one there in C is incorrect, right? But the thing is, when you scale writing code in the right-hand side, when you scale this to entire programs, knowing that you can just know that there is no undefined behavior in that one, in the right-hand side, is very powerful. Especially as the program gets more complex, that is a real for power two properties that we get out of that. And moreover, when you consider the lifetime of the project, right, when you consider maintenance, when you consider